Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today, as we are in part two of my two-part interview with our good friend John Meacham, as we talk about the dreams of Jesus. Now, this is John's vision, and we're going in detail about his calling and how the convergence of all the signs are taking place, and he's been sharing with us his mission, his purpose in sharing that the soon return of Jesus is very near. If you missed any of yesterday's interview, you need to go back and catch up, because we do not have time to go back and cover all the things that we talked about yesterday. We're just going to jump right back off into the interview. Now, here is John Meacham.
You know, the work that Jesus has had for me to do now and the work that Jesus had for me to do back in the day is all this writing. You know, like we said, I've written four books. I've written a group study program for the AIM program. There's thousands of words on my website here. I write posts every day. I've gotten into all kinds of writing. But as John Meacham, I was a CPA. I was a numbers guy. You know, a quick side story, I made D's in spelling when I was in the eighth grade. And when I went to my junior year in high school, my mother wanted me to put in the class with the smart kids, you know, the high up AP kids.
Yeah.
In my school, they were really smart. And she petitioned and petitioned, and finally they agreed. Well, I was not anywhere near these kids' level, but the teacher was so neat. Her name was Janella Allison, and if she'd known I'd written all these books, I'm sure she'd roll over in her grave. But what she did, Pastor Bob, she took my desk, put it beside her, and faced me toward the rest of the class, and I thought she was going to make fun of me, but what she did, she made fun of them. She said, "We're going to sit up here and make fun of all those nerds." And, you know, but John, as John Meacham, I had no ability with words, but as John the Apostle, that's all I do. I even had a part-time accounting job in retirement, and I gave that up 4 or 5 months ago, but the guy asked me to come back and work a few days when the lady that was doing the job now was on vacation. Pastor Bob, I went back from the word brain into the numbers world. I was just a duck out of water, and the worst thing that I did is the worst thing you can do in an accountant. I made a mistake in payroll. You know what people do if you get their paychecks wrong?
Yeah, they want to fight.
Exactly. So fortunately, I caught the mistake, and I had to do them all over again. But the writing has been the key to me, and particularly when I went to Galilee. You know, and we've talked about that. I went to Galilee to write a book. I went to Galilee to do all these things, and I was indwelled in Galilee, and I actually thought, to be honest, I even told my ex-wife and one pastor that I worked with that Jesus might come on that trip. 1:25:05 at 6:20 p.m. was the time I was told to be there at the Earth and Stone stage waiting for him. Of course, I told two people then. Obviously, he didn't come, and you've heard the story about that. Do you know how many people have seen my message? And I think I've told you this about Jesus might come again on 9/19/22 at 3:51.
How many?
It's been seen by over 50 million people.
Praise the Lord.
Last time it was two.
So, I was saying, God's giving you some impact. That's awesome.
I don't know. Let me tell you, I don't know. You just don't know. Most people, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how it's been for you. But I can do these interviews, and it sounds good. I can post it on Twitter and post it on Facebook. I can send it out as emails. But when I get in a Sunday school class or with other people and I tell them face-to-face that I'm John from the Bible waiting for Jesus, there's an intellectual gap.
Yeah.
that people really have a hard time processing that. I've got a, one of them, you know, I've told you I had the accountability group, which was Helen, my oldest son, and one of my pastors. Well, he's really gotten into all of this, and he's finally, you know, he's finally wanting to see the evidence and talk about it. He's coming next week, the day after our interview next week. And, you know, I'm going to show him all this, all the website. I'm going to show him the bag that was in the church at the church on the Mount, Chapel on the Mount, Beatitudes. I'm going to show him all the messages I've got. And but I know it's going to be hard for him to process.
Yep.
Well, in my third dream of Jesus' second coming on 10/19/84, I stood waiting by a green Hyundai at the earth and stone stage in the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd of church leaders gazed into a cloudless blue sky and watched Jesus ride toward us on a white cloud. Jesus landed and talked to the church leaders. Then he walked to where I waited by the green Hyundai. He took a seat in the back. And when I looked at him in the rearview mirror, Jesus said, "I am ready." We pulled onto Highway 92, and I woke up. Now, Pastor Bob, I want to pause for a minute here and kind of go the theological route or the biblical route or the exegesis route, and that this is the third dream. How does the number three appear significantly in Scripture? What are some times where three of something is critical?
Well, it's the Trinity. It represents the Trinity.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not sure I've ever been able to fully comprehend all that, but it's there. You know, this three in one. I wrote down a couple. The Transfiguration. You know, I'll never forget there with Peter and my brother James, and as Jesus was transfigured, and he was with Moses and Elijah. And in thinking about this and preparing for today, I realized that Jesus and Moses and Elijah share a very unique characteristic. Their deaths were shrouded in mystery. Jesus died, he was raised from the dead, he ascended. Moses died, and supposedly God buried him in the valley of Moab. Elijah was taken up to heaven on the chariot. They didn't even know if he died or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what I take from that is, and what I always try to emphasize with myself, and I actually didn't get it from myself when I used to preach. If I ever preached from a passage that I'd never preached from before, I always studied William Barclay in the New Testament. And Barclay said, Christianity is a mystery. I even used to tell my granddaughter, we'd go to church together. She'd say, "Pop, what about this? Pop, what about that?" I'd explain what I could, but when we got to things like a virgin birth and all, I'd say, "Claire, that's a mystery, and I don't understand it, and I may never understand it." But why do you think that's so hard for us as humans, and I'll Christian humans or whatever term you want to use, why is it so hard for us moderns to accept the mystery of Christianity?
Because we want to see the facts. In other words, we want to use our five senses, see, touch, taste, smell, you know, feel. Then we'll believe. Where we're not called as Christians to rely on the five senses.
No,
we're called
exactly
to rely on our heart.
Spiritual. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Paul thing where Paul says, and, you know, I think one of the final developments of me as a Christian has been this studying Paul's letters, because I never realized how much on point he was for people like you and me that say Christianity is about the spiritual nature controlling your mind, not the human nature. Christianity is about looking forward to things you can't see, faith, hope, love, and Christ, and not the things you can see, like a big house, lots of money, and a good job, and lots of pleasurable experiences. And I don't know in today's world if that spiritual nature of Christianity and the church plays out.
Yeah, that's the lie of the devil. That's the deception of Satan. That's why a lot of the churches that you do see doing well today are also the ones that preach about the prosperity and you know, feel good and all that.
We've said this before. What do you think would happen this Sunday if Joel Osteen got up from those 40,000 people in that arena in Houston and the 40 million that look at him around the world, and he started preaching fire and brimstone, and he started doing it every week? What would happen to his audience?
They'd at least be cut in half.
They'd go away.
Yeah. Yep.
They'd be gone.
Yep. Amen.
You know, I used to blame it on the preachers, and I still put some blame there, but there was a passage I read where Paul said, the people in the pews gravitate to the people saying what they want to hear.
That's it. That's it.
You know, like you talk about the services where they turn the lights down low and the music up mm-hmm. loud. Those people yeah. are going to what? Oh, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I got to tell you. One of my neighbors has all types of medical problems, and he asked me to go to church with him Sunday, and he's in a wheelchair and all that, but he can drive. He drove us to church, and they had a special laying on a hand service for him, and it was very, very meaningful, and it was just, you know, the service was, you know, it was old-timey, not old school, but, you know, traditional in nature, but they still had some of the contemporary element.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was like a lot of the churches of that era. You know, there was maybe 75 people there. Maybe not that many. You know, most of the pews were empty. Most of the people were as old as I am or older. Pastor Bob, I looked in their program. Now, this is a church with 75 people in worship, older folks. What do you think their weekly budget requirement was?
I have no idea.
$13,000
per week. Wow.
A week.
Wow.
They had built this huge family life center with a gymnasium and attached classrooms, and their budget requirement was $13,000 a week. How do churches get so far into the world that they get that far in debt?
Are they meeting the budget, though?
No, they're not even close.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and the guy that's his friend that he calls his pastor is their interim. They can't find anybody that'll come there. And guess why? There's no way they can do enough to cover that budget and their own paycheck.
Yep.
But don't get me too far into that stuff. I didn't want to bring it up because it bothered me so bad.
Amen.
I want to point us out to one other third item here, this green Hyundai. Now, I don't know if you realize that this green Hyundai I saw in the dream here in 1984, in 2005, when I left from my house in Raleigh to go to Dulles Airport to get the plane to fly to Tel Aviv, guess what kind of car I drove?
A green Hyundai?
A green Hyundai.
Amen.
When I got to the Tel Aviv airport to pick up my rental car, guess what it was?
A green Hyundai.
A green Hyundai, the third time, and then I saw it in this dream. And so I'll be honest with you, when I got it, and I'm not sure it all hit me until later. I did write it down, but that kept telling me, well, maybe he really is going to come. This green Hyundai's appeared for a third time. But I think what I wanted to make sure I pointed out before we ran out of time is what Jesus said. In the dream, Jesus said, I am ready.
Amen.
Do you remember when I picked him up at Franklin's Park and he was his spiritual essence was in the back seat and I mm-hmm. looked into the rearview mirror? You remember what he said?
Yeah, don't smoke.
Oh, that was after I smoked. He told me, I told you not to smoke. You had to remember that. What he said was, I am ready. And my premonition, my thoughts now, Bob, are that Jesus is on the northern horizon, and he's saying, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to come back.
And actually, he's been ready. He's just waiting for permission to come.
You know, I'm not going to speak above my pay grade. That's above my pay grade. You know what troubles me about all this, a lot of it, is a lot of people are justifiably and duly concerned about what's going to happen after he comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I've gone through some study processes. And you know, I don't know if you've realized this in all of our talks. I study a lot. Mm-hmm. I studied a lot before I would preach a sermon on a new passage. I've always tried to, you know, check all the verses, check all the commentary, you know. Don't just shoot from the hip. Know what right. you're talking about. Be right. John Meacham in Christianity, as John Meacham is with the presidents. Every time I study past Revelation 19, 11 through 16, which is my call passage, I don't see anything. And I'm going to tell you something that I say with reservation. I've had a premonition within the last couple of months, not a dream, not a vision, but a premonition, and premonitions do or don't come to pass. You know, I've had, as you know, I've had dreams come true and all of that, and we got Donald's dream, and then we have these dreams. In the premonition, I see him coming. We go to the church of the multiplication of loaves and fishes so that the priest and the nuns can take care of him there. They're supposed to call the Pope and all that, but you could imagine all the media chaos that would mm-hmm. ensue, you know, once they knew Jesus had come and all the crazies had come out. Mm-hmm. My premonition is that I'll be shot in the heart there in the parking lot of the Church of the Multiplication of the Loaves and Fishes, and I'll die there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's never really bothered me, at least not so far, because when I look back at the guys I was with, at Peter and James and Andrew and all them, they all died violent deaths.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on a cross shaped like an X. So for me to think I'm not going to die some kind of violent death is just naive. It will probably come to pass that way. But, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, if he comes now, Pastor Bob, the thing that's bothering me the most is I sent 55 million people or more have seen the messages that I've seen sent out, and the only responses I ever get from people is remove me from that email list, or you don't know the date, or you're some kind of nutcase. Nobody ever says, amen, I'm ready to get ready.
Yeah, amen.
They just want to fight it.
Yep, because they, when Jesus does return, I mean, this whole thing is about to wrap up, and before it wraps up, it's going to get a lot worse. I mean, you know, you can read it yourself in the book, folks. I mean, you know, civil war is nothing. I mean, you're talking nuclear destruction. I mean, it says a third of every person on Earth is going to die.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now you are scaring me. I didn't know that.
One Whoa. Third of humanity will die Whoa. Over a 7-year period. I mean, this is not anything, you know, to like, oh, Jesus is back. Isn't it so nice? Now, if you're not taken out before he comes back, if you're not prepared for the second coming, there will still be people born again during the 7 years of tribulation, mainly the last 3.5 years of tribulation. There will still be, because even though the church is gone, there's angels flying above telling people to repent. I mean, the gospel's going to be preached right up until that's it.
And you know, that if there's anything consistent with what I've seen with all the other Johns that have come before me, it's that word repent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just goes out and doesn't come back at all when you say that in this modern era.
Yep.
I'm not even sure people know what the word repent means anymore.
A lot of, you know, criminals and stuff will say they repent. They're sorry they got caught. They're not
well, they're hoping they're going to get paroled, too.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
I'll tell you something that's been bothering me recently about all of this. You know, my thing is, you know, first of all, is this third dream going to come true on 9/19/22? You know, will he return as I've seen it in the dream? And for the longest time, I've been told to be standing on the Earth and Stone stage at 3:51 p.m. in the afternoon. But there has been this overtone in the back that says, if it doesn't get any better, I'm going to come at night, and you're going to have to be out there at 3:51 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that won't be good if Jesus comes at night.
Well, it'll be daylight here.
But, I mean, there's something in the scriptures that says, hope I don't come at night.
Yeah,
that, right. That real tribulation is about to ensue. And so I've always been
What does darkness represent?
Separation from God.
Yeah, exactly. This world is
hell is supposedly a theater of darkness.
Yep. But, I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, the world is going to be a dark place when Jesus returns. And it, you know, he's coming for his church to take them out of the darkness and into the light.
Well, based on the response rate I'm seeing, there ain't nobody going to be ready. And you know he's standing out there saying, I'm ready. And you know the call for us is, be ready, get ready.
Well, the Bible talks about Jesus standing at the door and knocking, right? Means he knows you're in there. He knows you're there. He's knocking. He wants in.
Well, through me, he's knocked 55 million times and nobody's opened it yet.
And at the great white throne judgment, they will have to answer why. You know, I didn't know this was through. You've been told. I firmly believe
that. You had an interview with a guy that said it's going to be sometime in the fall of 22 or the spring of 23. I had a guy on Twitter that actually, he was saying the same date, 9/19/22. Except where I'm saying the earth and stone stage in Galilee, he was saying another place in Israel. And you know what he said to me when we were tweeting back and forth? He said, what are you going to do when you're in the wrong place? I thought, do you know how significant that is that two people are tweeting to each other about Jesus coming back on the same day?
Amen.
And we've only got a 100 miles difference in where it's going to happen. Do you know how, in the circle of time, how significant that is?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, what does the Bible say about his coming? It just says lightning goes from the east to the west, right? So how long would it take a bolt of lightning to go from where you're going to be at to where he's going to be at?
You know,
a blink of an eye.
I just moved on and yeah. I said, this is where God told me to be. I'll be there. I
mean, exactly. But what I'm saying is it's going to happen in a blink of an eye.
You understand me because this is like 14 hours worth of interviews we've done and Helen understood. If God tells me to do something, I'm just going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And what if the consequences happen to be negative for me, I'll suffer the consequences. But, you know, and I don't mean for this to come out wrong, and I'm not even going to use some of the phraseology. My wife used to say, why don't you just stop doing this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Bob, you think I can stop?
That's impossible. I mean,
there's no way I can stop.
Just like Job, you know, his wife's like, look, just shut up and die.
Just stop.
You know?
I can't stop. There's no way. I mean,
exactly.
I've told you this time, the countless nights I've gone to bed saying, do I have to do this again tomorrow? And the countless times I wake up the next day, yes, you have to do it again today.
Amen. Well, John, we're about out of time. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, get more information, everything you're talking about today, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
By far, my website is so good now because I've added all of our interviews. They're linked in below the subject, whether it's a divine revelation or whether it's one of the seven messages. So the best thing to do is just go to my website, dazzlinglight.org. You got any questions or anything, just email me. But it now is better than the books or better than anything else because, as I've told you, you're now a part of this effort to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming. Your interviews have added so much to this. I think it's been days and days and days there at the website.
Amen. Folks, you heard it. I mean, we've been talking about this topic for over a year now. Having John Meacham to continue to come back on the program with the express purpose of talking about the soon return of Jesus.
Now, you know what the title of our next session is?
What is it?
Christ in Galilee.
Amen. Now, and John's getting confirmations from the most unusual sources about God specifically directing people to search his name on Google, and it just confirms the messages that he's giving to them from what John's sharing. I mean, this is folks, we can't make this stuff up. Okay.
There you go. Can't make it up. We're not that smart.
Exactly. I mean, we've also, you know, we also have reports of the Lord appearing to many, many Muslims, and they instantly become believers. I mean, even though they know they'll face extreme persecution in the culture they live in, they refuse to believe the lies of Islam anymore. That's how the Lord is working right now, is trying to get the word out as far and as wide and as to as many people as possible. Time is almost up. I am on my way back. As John said, I'm ready.
Right. To use one of your phrases, the convergence is happening
of
now.
All the different things happening. That's right. Amen. I mean, when you meet the Lord face to face, you better know the truth that will set you free. Because
Amen.
If you don't know the truth, you are about to find out the hard way.
Amen.
I mean, there's no doubt we are living in the final moments of the final hours of the final days before Jesus returns for his bride, the true church of believers. Are you ready? And are you sure? Those are the two questions you need to ask. Now, if not, you need to make sure. Go to John's website, dazzlinglight.org, take a look around, listen to some of the interviews, read the articles, because time truly is running out. John, thank you so much for coming back on the program today. I appreciate all you're doing for the body of Christ, man.
Well, thank you. You are too. I mean, you're right there on my website with so far, you'll end up with 15 hours worth of interviews on my website. So it's you too. It's not just me.
Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For John Meach and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.